come now to a series of sermons I've been offering entitled From Dust to Promise, Refreshing Our Hearts as a Lenten Theme. And today the message is entitled Hosanna, O Lord, Save Us. There are two readings we'll be offering this morning. The first is from the Old Testament, just one verse, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And then we'll be turning to the lectionary suggested reading from John chapter 12, the traditional reading for Palm Sunday from John's Gospel. And so listen as I read first from the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This is the prophecy of the coming of the ruler of God's people, the Messiah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And then in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, again, this traditional reading from his Gospel on Palm Sunday. It begins, you'll note, with events that take place the day before his entry into Jerusalem. Verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Now, he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Verse 7, Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. Here is the reading of God's holy word, and to our Lord's name be all thanks and praise. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O God, we come to you, opening our hearts, asking for you to refresh them. We open to you our very lives. Come into us. Ride on in with your gentleness. Visit our public spaces where everyone knows us. Visit our private spaces where we hardly know ourselves at times. Come with your wonderful, forgiving, and creative spirit to help us to be better followers than we are. Come, Lord Jesus, to us today. Amen. Well, I have visited and studied these Palm Sunday readings now for almost 35 years as a preacher, so I'm somewhat familiar with them. But I will tell you this, each time I visit them, I learn something more. I find that God's scriptures are just beautiful in this way. They're almost like a diamond. You can hold it up in the air, and if the light hits it just right, you can see another truth be revealed in God's scripture to us. And I continue to be amazed how these divinely inspired gospel writers, how they deal with this particular story about Jesus' entrance into Palm Sunday, how they deal with it each in a unique way. For example, if you go to Mark's Gospel, you read in Mark's Gospel this particular story of Jesus' entrance in Jerusalem, and Mark goes on and on, it seems, with the verses in this story, almost all of them, in fact, giving detailed instructions to two of his disciples that he does not name in the story, to go to get a donkey and what to say to the owner of the donkey, and then to bring the donkey to Jesus so he can ride it into, you get the picture. Mark goes on and on about this young colt. But John in his gospel doesn't do that. In John's gospel, the donkey just sort of appears out of nowhere. It says Jesus found a donkey. No instructions about going to get a donkey. No instructions about what to say to the owner. It just shows up. All of which is to say that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have a fantastic story to tell us about Palm Sunday. And they're all unique. And our ears should be attuned when we come to Scripture to listen for the word that God has tailor-made for us this year and every year. For example, when John weaves this story about Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he does so by beginning to mention a meal that took place at Lazarus' home and some other events that take place there the day before Palm Sunday, as these events foreshadow things that will happen to Jesus. Note with me, this first foreshadowing event that tells of what is to come is the meal that Jesus had with his friends and disciples at the home of the recently dead Lazarus. And from this point on, because they all know the authorities are looking for Jesus, they're looking to arrest him and to kill him because he's become so popular with this raising of Lazarus. But from that point on, after that meal, all of them knew that the day would come and it would be Jesus' Last Supper. John, you see what he's doing here. He weaves Maundy Thursday, the institution of the Lord's Supper, right into Palm Sunday for us. So Maundy Thursday takes place in John's gospel, not just later in the week, but today. The second foreshadowing here in John's gospel, this anointing that's done by Mary. Mary took a pound of costly perfume and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. Jesus tells us in John's revealing of this story that she bought the ointment for his burial. Mary's anointing of Jesus, you see, points not only to Jesus' looming death, but also to the extreme cruelty of his execution. There will be no anointing if the Romans have their way of Jesus' body after his death. The Romans plan to desecrate the body of Jesus. What they would do is leave the body on the cross, often for days, even weeks, and let the fowl come and feed, and there would be little left, and then the body would be thrown into a common grave. That didn't happen to Jesus. The Romans took him away. And more on that story next week. But Jesus will be taken away from them, they believe, forever. That is at least what the Romans are planning to do. But that's not how the story ends. And what John does here, again in his gospel, in this second foreshadowing of the anointing of Jesus' feet with this burial perfume and ointment, is he places Good Friday, not just in the week to come, but John places Good Friday on Palm Sunday. The third foreshadowing. It takes place as John includes this story about Lazarus. The very day before Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, John has a lot to say to us. Lazarus, as we know, Scripture tells us, it was the one whom Jesus loved. And it was also the one that Jesus had raised from the dead. The raising of Lazarus, by the way, as we know, was the event. It was the last straw, so to speak, traditionally, the sign that finally put the authorities, the religious leaders, over the edge, and they were ready to take action and arrest and kill Jesus. And everyone knew this. Lazarus' presence that day, before Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem, it leaves us on Palm Sunday with an unfinished sentence that will be finished next Sunday. Just as Lazarus, the one whom Jesus loves, has been raised from the dead by Jesus, so too, the one whom God loves, his only son, Jesus, will be. Just how this sentence will be finished is exactly both the fear and the hope that is in everyone's heart before Jesus rides into Jerusalem. So John is telling us again, and in that Palm Sunday parade, he points us to the Last Supper. In that Palm Sunday parade, he points us to the institution of the Lord's Supper. As they cry, Hosanna, and Mary anoints Jesus' feet with that nard, it points us to Good Friday and Jesus' execution on the cross for the sins of the world. And as they wave the palm branches, and Jesus had the meal the day before with Lazarus, it points us to the one who will be. Two things to quickly note as we close this morning. The expression Hosanna literally means, in the Hebrew language, the Lord saves. It is a quotation taken directly from Psalm 118, used in our reading from John today, but also in the readings of the other gospel writers. It was a phrase that was probably at the time on the expression, Hail to the King. But the underlying meaning was, the Lord saves us. The words that follow Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they were words that were familiar to every single Jew. And John uses them in his gospel to record that Jesus was the real deal. And you can hear it ringing in their ears with those familiar words of prophecy. Jesus is being proclaimed on Palm Sunday by that crowd as the one true and only King. And as we read John's version of Palm Sunday, we should be aware that the first verses of the very next chapter in John tell us that the chief priests and Pharisees had already given orders to arrest Jesus and to kill him. And so Jesus, you see, his entrance in John's gospel is a deliberate, provocative act. Because now, who knows where Jesus is as he rides that donkey into Jerusalem? The answer is everyone does. Where is Jesus? Coming into Jerusalem, riding on a young donkey. And they all shouted, Hosanna, the Lord has come to save us. Amen, and may it be so.